Welcome to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, as usual, Ken Drew. This is another edition of Week in Review, where I choose 3 to 4 stories I found interesting. We'll stay within the conservative circle, debate the appearance of porn star Brandi Love at Turning Point USA, a very well-known organization in the conservative circle that targets young adults, more particular college students and high school students as well. Was it handled appropriately by the organization with her appearance? I'll give you my personal opinion on that. Then we'll talk about the latest attempt from the politicians and especially the NFL to pressure the regular voter to get the COVID-19 vaccination. One of the NFL players, well-known wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, is questioning whether or not he wants to stay in the NFL as a result. I'll give you my take on that. And then we'll also look into the exchange between Dr. Fauci and Rand Paul, which got pretty heated, at least to say, got pretty heated. And so I'll give you my personal take and who I thought won that exchange. And then lastly, last but not least, we'll stay along the lines of politics and talking about whether or not the government has given Trump legal grounds for his lawsuit. This is Taboo Topic, where we dare to question the narrative and think out loud. Freedom of speech triumphs your safe space. And before we go on break and get the show on the road, I want to remind everyone they can read future newsletters just by typing in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. You can also follow me on Instagram just by typing in Kenjin_express. Kenjin_express. And then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook just by typing in Taboo Topic. Look for the little logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. And now we'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, as usual. And before going any further, it is that time of the week again where I ask, how was your week? In case you're wondering how my week went, well, it was interesting, to put it nicely without getting to the details of it. But I'll tell you, had an interesting week between three parties. You have an organization, Turning Point USA. Then you have an actress, which I'll get into the details in just a second. Then you have parents. All right. Now, in case anybody doesn't know, Turning Point USA is an organization founded by Charlie Kirk, which frankly I don't particularly like, but I digress. In this organization, they like to host events to celebrate conservative values. They'll have speakers that support those values and invite people in, which today's conservatism is more MAGA-oriented, as far as pro-Christianity, pro-American, pro-Constitution, America First, smaller government, and free market, capitalist, anti-Marxist altogether, right? The target audience is young adults, more specifically college students, and high school as well. That said, remember the fact there's high school students, which means there are minors. Just for context later on. So, there's an event in Tampa recently, and there were some concerned parents that noticed a familiar face. An adult actress, or more bluntly, a porn star. Her name is Brandi Love. Well, that's her stage name anyway. Her real name is Tracy Lynn Livermore, and she bought tickets for VIP, adult VIP, and that's how she was able to get the tickets to begin with, was using her real name. And she went with her husband and with some friends. Very briefly, though, she was there for the beginning of the event when Charlie Kirk talked and spoke about, you know, what conservatism is, etc., blah, 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 right? Hits pitch sale as far as why the event is important. And so once she got home, after some heat that Turning Point USA got with her being there, in response, the organization revoked her tickets and just gave her the boot through an email. She was no longer welcome there. And conservatives, mainly the voter base of conservatives, have dissented that decision to remove her from the event. And in response to the criticism, Turning Point USA said this: Turning Point USA did not block Miss Love from its student event because of quote-unquote backlash. Turning Point USA did so in keeping with its standard operating procedures to not involve porn brands, influencers, or personalities that post or publish sexually explicit and pornographic content. A few concerned parents rightly alerted us to the extremely pornographic nature of her social media posts, and event leadership immediately took the appropriate steps in keeping with the best interests of minors at the event. Furthermore, Miss Love purchased an adult VIP ticket. She was not invited, nor was her attendance somehow requested by the organization. The bottom line is that it's simply not appropriate for a porn star to be actively posting images at an event with 15 and 16 year olds present in conjunction with graphic pornography. Turning Point USA makes no apology for this, a position which should not be controversial, especially when minors are involved. Parents deserve this type of assurance, and Turning Point USA intends on giving them that confidence. Any quote-unquote controversy is purely contrived. Now, I'm going to call her by her real name, Tracy, or Mrs. Livermore. Not sure if that's her married name, but let's go with it. Let's just go with Tracy, all right? She, in response, called out she called it hypocrisy in regards to cancel culture, that there is an elite class on the right, and the leaders of Turning Point USA, the ones who kicked her out anyway, don't represent the majority of conservatives. Even called out the religious right as she got heat on social media from them. Now, I heard all of this on a radio interview called The Scott Sands Show, and that's where I got her point of view on things. And I also listened to some conservative pundits from both ends, which if you go to the Daily Wire, you'll hear the argument of porn stars have no place in conservatism. Then you have the Hodge Twin brand of conservatism that's more libertarian in its approach, in a sense of everyone is welcome to come to this event, this big tent approach, as long as they keep that stuff out of the building. I respect both sides of the argument. I genuinely do. On the one end, there are minors, which from a parent's point of view, I could see how it could be a cause for concern. You want to do everything in your power to protect them, keep their innocence, especially in a Christian household, protect them from any hint of sin. Granted, I don't know how these parents knew her profession, if you catch my drift. Regardless, if you saw an adult actress and you had a minor, what would your reaction be? I would bet there would be definitely some uneasiness. That said, on the other end, she isn't bringing the industry into the building just by being there. She dressed appropriately for the occasion. She looked classy. She paid money as a private citizen with loved ones. By the way, in case you wonder how I knew that, I watched the Hodge Twins talk about it, and they show the picture of the post she put on Twitter at the event showing her excitement. So it's not like I actually went out of my way to go see this. I definitely don't want to see anything I'm not supposed to see. But anyways, So she paid money as a private citizen with loved ones. She wasn't like giving autographs or showing any hint of inappropriate behavior with those minors, if she interacted with any at all. That said, I think the situation could have been resolved differently to satisfy both parties. And for this perspective, we'll go into biblical context. Because if conservatism is about Christianity, right, if that's like they're pro-Christianity, then at the center of our beliefs when it comes to culture, interpreting the world around us, how we've resolved conflict, the center of it all is Jesus. I say that because Jesus, from my readings of scripture, did the world, both worlds perfectly. Not surprising, of course, since he was perfect, but he did it in a sense. He displayed the big tent idea in the kingdom of God in John 14, verses 1 through 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to be there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to go to the place where I am going. All right. So that's kind of like the big tent idea for anyone who believes and repents. That said, despite the big tent, idea he was given out there, he also was not afraid to go and challenge people and hold people accountable. Let's go back to the overly used scripture of the adulterous woman, all right? Which we already know the story. I'm not going to get too into it, right? But we all know, like he said, after some scholars tried to question Jesus, and Jesus responded brilliantly with, "He who is without sin may cast the first stone." And a lot of times, people tend to just kind of stop there, and then they don't read on to what it says later. Jesus came to the go went to the woman and said, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, do not sin any longer." He showed her grace while challenging her to live a repentant life. Where am I going with this? See, if I were the one in that position from Turning Point USA, I know I'm Monday night quarterbacking this situation, but stay with me. I would have called Tracy into a room with the concerned parents. I would have had someone in the meantime work up a document for Mrs. Livermore, to sign an exchange stating of letting her stay to honor her purchase and conservative values of capitalism, to honor the fact that she is showing interest at least, and we want to allow as many people as possible who are actually interested in what we have to sell. Because at the end of the day, they're selling a product. They're selling the product that their ideas are the best ideas. Their beliefs and morality is what society should be abiding by. So, in honor of her carry interest in participating in this event and wanting to be part of this family, she would not bring any part of that industry into the building. In other words, not even a hint. If whatever you do outside of this building, with your adult actressing, if you will, you keep that there. But when you come in here, in the same manner, if you, let's say you are coming into a church, for example, whatever it is you're struggling out there and stuff like that with sin, when you come inside the church and everything like that, don't bring that in here. Just like, in other words, like if I have a drinking problem outside of church and don't come into the sermon hammered, all right? More or less. Don't disrupt the service and come in hammered and cause, disruption, if you will. Which again, in her defense, she wasn't doing any of that. She was doing that same thing. You know, she was keeping it to herself with her, you know, she posted a few things on Twitter, showing her excitement, and she was with her friends and family. And that's so, in her defense, again, she wasn't doing anything wrong, but this is for the peace of mind for the parents, all right? This document. And that, and if any students would interact with her, she would not pictures, she would not take any pictures with any who are not of legal age, of an adult. And if she wasn't sure, she would ask. And if clearly, and if it's been, and it's been proven that the student is a legal adult, she wouldn't take a picture with the students without the consent of the young adult itself for the picture and tag if it gets brought up in conversation. Otherwise, she could enjoy the event as much as she pleased, just as long as she signed that document. And then the document, we put it up on a website along with a future change concerning students, maybe updating like students' name tags so they can actually like clearly distinguish between who's under 18 and who's 18 and older. Or even perhaps like maybe because of that fact that there would just be too much of an, there's not enough black and white in this situation, because we have to keep in mind, this is a new situation that they've never dealt with, so there's no precedent. It's an unprecedented situation. So maybe perhaps give her a refund, which from my understanding, they never even gave her a refund for the event. So give her a refund, but allow for the policy change to take place for an so the next time there's an event, she could come in and there's no controversy as far as, you know, how do we know that these pictures she's taking with is of age or not? We'll have that policy in place, you know, pretty much the same policy I just put out, except this time the name tapes, the name tags they have on there, she can, you know, an adult actress like herself, she could distinguish who's of age, who's not. And if there was a picture taken, there would actually be visual proof of that person with the name tape that says, you know, I'm of age, more or less. And I understand there may be parents that may be upset with the idea that why would you even compromise to an idea like that, especially in regards to our children or students in general. Like, and in response, I would say this. If they're of age, they're legally old enough to, if you're a man anyway, if you're a young man, you're legally old enough to get drafted into the military. In other words, the government, at that point, considers you old enough to hold a gun and potentially take a life. So, if the in that sense, you have to honor the fact that at that point, you're no longer legally in control. And that's why, as far as the under 18 aspect, and I think, now that I think about it, I probably would have given her a refund, but at least given her that grace as far as, like, this is not about you. It's just too many concerned parents with this. We want you to come right now. It's just unprecedented. But for the next time, you know, we'll have all this in place so you can come and you can just enjoy yourself, what you would call it. But anywho, because of that reason, like, there's no, whatever the young adult, young female adult, young male adult decide what to do as far as who they want to associate them, who they want to associate themselves with, that's their decision at that point. And if you're a parent and you want to have a conversation as far as like, do you know who this is, or do you know why did you do this, or you shouldn't do this, then that is a conversation you need to have with your 18-year-old plus child or young adult, all right? But I understand the concern for the parents. And I didn't, and with that said, it's not a perfect solution, but it's definitely a solution to bridge the gap that's dividing our conservatives, if you will. But at least there would be a result or an action that showed some type of a resolution was attempted. Not perfect, but it was attempted. Because at the end of the day, again, if conservatism if we're pro-Christianity, that means we're pro-Jesus. Jesus at the center of conservatism, if more or less. Then we're trying, at the end of the day, we're trying to live up to God's two greatest commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And I would love for Tracy to come to an event like that, and then conserves just pour the love on her and just show her, like, this is a safe space for you to be here, to be Tracy Livermore, not Brandy Love. Which I found it weird that despite the fact that she used her real name in the tickets, they used her stage name. Like, they wanted her, like, they viewed her as just, another product of that industry instead of just a human being with an actual first and last name. And I think it would have been great if, they actually were like, listen, pretty much the same kind of conversation I would have, which I would also throw this in as well. Before she'd leave the room, off record, I'd offer to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that was a great opportunity to present the good news. And to have a conversation of, listen, we know what you do out there, outside this building for a living. And we know you view it as a business. But we view sex as something much more divine and great, greater, higher purpose than what you're doing right now. And God doesn't even look at you as Brandy Love. God looks at you as Tracy Livermore. And that's how we're going to address you in here right now, is your name. You actually have a real first name, and that's Tracy. That's the name you were given at birth, and that God purposely made your parents pick that name out for you. Right? And then just give the gospel of Jesus afterwards. And I know this is really more faith-oriented, and my faith-oriented episodes are more for Sunday. But for a situation like this, I feel like the conservative movement, we're losing Jesus in the midst of these conversations. And I don't want to use the whole "what would Jesus do" slogan, because I kind of find that annoying. Because sometimes, but to an extent, as cliche as it is, and annoying as it can be, or irritating, sometimes that could really help as far as figuring out how to go about this. And I recognize that this is a struggle with the conservative church as they're adjusting to this pretty much new world where everything's becoming secular, and the Christian church itself, like, well, first of all, we've lost all sense of influence as far as what's considered moral or not. But that's a result of us, in a sense that we've made people feel judged, and we've overly focused on certain sins and push people away from the church. And as a result, we're in this position. But that said, it is a struggle with the conservative ideology as a whole, whether it's talking from a religious point of view or a more secular point of view. Like, I think in this, we need to just go back to the basics. Just kind of focus on the examples that Jesus gave us on how to handle these kind of conflicts. And personally, I wish Jesus was in that situation, right? If I was in that situation, I would call for Jesus, and I would hope that Jesus just popped in that room and he would settle that dispute right then and there. That said, because there is, she did bring up, Tracy did bring up a section of conservatism, the religious right, if you will, which I guess you could say I technically fall in that. I find myself more independent. I lean a little bit more to the right, theology speaking, but there is a faction out there that's kind of like the legalistic Christians out there, or Jews, whatever, the religious right, right? But there definitely is a group out there on the right that likes to point the finger a lot at the world, and they're a bunch of naysayers, if you will, like, don't do this, don't do that. And that's such a turnoff for people, because at the end of the day, you and I were fallen sinners. And that, again, it would have been a great opportunity to just come out and talk to her as Tracy, not as this, again, product of this industry. Just look at her as a human being and say, the good news is, Tracy, what you're doing outside of this building is no worse than my own strongholds and my own sins that I'm committing my life right now. Like, this whole situation could have gone a lot better. And as a result, unfortunately, we're having this debate and it's dividing the conservative movement even further, I would say. But that's my personal take on it. I know there's going to be some on the more libertarian side that's maybe think I didn't go hard enough, or some on the more traditional conservative I didn't go hard enough. But I do believe in the best of both. I think there's good we could use from both sides and apply it, and where we can get the big tent, but also have those boundaries as far as, listen, you can come, but just so you know, if you come here, this is what we're all about. All right? But anyways, with that said, guys, that's it for this segment. We're going to go ahead and get into the next segment after this break, and we'll be talking about the COVID-19 vaccinations and the latest push with that after this break.
Also proposed changes that we have made to social media platforms, including Facebook, and those specifically are four key steps. One, that they measure and publicly share the impact of misinformation on their platform. Facebook should provide publicly and transparently data on the reach of COVID-19, COVID vaccine misinformation, not just engagement, but the reach of the misinformation and the audience that it's reaching. That will help us ensure we're getting accurate information to people. This should be provided not just to researchers, but to the public, so that the public knows and understands what is accurate and inaccurate. Second, that we have recommended, proposed that they create a robust enforcement strategy that bridges their properties and provides transparency about the rules. So about, I think this was a question asked before, there's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation on social media platforms. All of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including Facebook, ones that Facebook owns. Third, it's important to take faster action against harmful posts. As you all know, information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. Sometimes it's not accurate, and Facebook needs to move more quickly to remove harmful, violative posts. Posts that will be within their policies for removal often remain up for days. That's too long. The information spreads too quickly. Finally, we have proposed they promote quality information sources in their feed algorithm. Facebook has repeatedly shown that they have the leverage to promote quality information. We've seen them effectively do this in their algorithm over low quality information, and they've chosen not to use it in this case, and that's certainly an area that would have an impact. So these are certainly the proposals. We engage with them regularly, and they certainly understand what our asks are.
So new cases in the U.S. have tripled in the last 3 weeks. We know that hospitalizations and deaths tend to follow unless you're vaccinated. So are you bracing for a rise in deaths from COVID in the coming weeks?
Well, thanks, Dana. I am worried about what is to come because we are seeing increasing cases among the unvaccinated in particular. And while if you are vaccinated, you are very well protected against hospitalization and death, unfortunately, that is not true if you are not vaccinated. We're seeing 99.5% of deaths right now from COVID-19 in our country are happening among the unvaccinated.
Welcome back to Tabu Topic, the Weekend Review Edition. Those last two sound bites you heard were from the press secretary, White House press secretary, and then the Surgeon Attorney General. And if you thought the left is the only ones that are pressuring people to have the COVID-19 vaccinations, well, don't worry. We got some Republicans now that are also trying to pressure the American people to get vaccinated, as I'm going to present you Mitch McConnell with this sound bite.
It never occurred to me after three highly effective vaccines were developed in under a year that we'd have difficulty getting Americans to take the shots. But that's obviously where we are. I want to underscore in the strongest possible manner I can, and I say this with some authority, as you all know, as a result of being a polio victim myself and being very aware that it took 7 decades to come up with 2 effective polio vaccines. This was done in under 1 year. These shots need to get in everybody's arm as rapidly as possible, or we're going to be back in a situation in the fall that we don't yearn for, that we went through last year. The way to defeat getting back into the position we were last year is to get vaccinated. This is not complicated. 97% of the people who are in the hospital now for COVID are unvaccinated. So if there's anybody out there willing to listen, get vaccinated. It is not at all unclear that the way to avoid getting back in the hospital is to get vaccinated. And I want to encourage everybody to do that and to ignore all of these other voices that are giving demonstrably bad advice.
Did I mention how much Mitch McConnell irritates me just by being there still? Like, why is he and Nancy Pelosi still there? I think I don't like Mitch McConnell more because he represents the Republican Party, which is what I'm technically registered as. And he's just out of touch along with these other elites. But it's not just politicians. Alright? They're trying to show the world their power, if you will. The NFL came down with a new policy that mandated players to get vaccinated for those who haven't been vaccinated. In particular, DeAndre Hopkins and Jalen Ramsey expressed dissent with the policy on Twitter. They took it down eventually after some backlash, which to that I call you wimps, but they weren't the only players who went into debate mode and in some cases playing God about whether or not players should be vaccinated. I point those two players in particular out because they happen to be more recognizable athletes. Hopkins is a wide receiver. He's a star. Plays for the Arizona Cardinals. And then Jalen Ramsey is a defensive secondary. He's also a star. And I found it interesting to hear some well-known athletes display those thoughts that happen to align with conservative thinking. Quite honestly, it was refreshing. Whether or not, you know, they had the courage to keep their posts up there to actually spark a genuine debate, that's another story. But regardless, at least they showed some hint that they actually have freedom of thought. That's all I'm going to say on that. It's very refreshing to hear that. But it's not just the NFL, however. As there's debate in Tokyo whether or not the game should be continued after more athletes tested positive with COVID-19. Vaccinated, may I add. So yeah, it's good to know these athletes can have different opinions and have that freedom of thought. That said, in this segment, we're going to combine two stories and go a little out of order because I think the press secretary just helped Trump's case a lot and has Facebook scrambling for damage control most likely. Now, with all that said, all the rhetoric that's being spewed, let's keep a few things in perspective here. Last year, the majority of the hospitalizations and serious cases, including death, I'm rounding up with this number, it's only 2% off, it's 78% to be exact, but at least 80% were already in bad health as a result of being overweight. That means, if what the government is saying is true or has any credibility in regards to the unvaccinated, the supposedly 97 to 99% who are hospitalized and as a result of being unvaccinated, which are roughly around 53% of the nation has at least taken one shot. So do the math, that's like 46, 47% more or less that have not gotten at least one shot of the vaccination, then they are more likely already in that status of being unhealthy and overweight. To which I say this, get healthy. I didn't say get the vaccine, I said get healthy. If you don't want to continue that life, if you want to continue that lifestyle, excuse me, then you should consider getting the vaccine if you don't want to find yourself sick. It is a fact, you are a higher risk. But I understand the hesitancy. I understand the concern. If I remember correctly, I spoke of the general sentiment of those who don't want the vaccine, which is more or less that we've never had a vaccine in this short time span, less than a year. Mitch McConnell said it took 7 decades for the polio vaccine. Thank goodness that's not the case. But it's also a reason for concern as well. As far as we never had a vaccine that was manipulated for lethal purposes, whether the intent of the manipulation was an accident or not is still up for debate, which my personal opinion, I don't think it was an accident. I think it was a biological weapon being developed, but regardless, it's our personal choice and it's not been FDA approved. The flu shot isn't mandatory. The government recognizes it's not their place to force people to get a vaccine unless you work for the military, and then it's a completely different story. And yet there's no hysteria about making a mandate for all Americans to get the flu shot, despite, on average, I don't remember the numbers last year, but the numbers beforehand, there was always way more severe cases and deaths with the flu than COVID-19. And I know I'm beating an old drum, beating a dead horse, but that's just a fact. At this point, it's more or less cherry picking what we choose to be hysterical about. And with the recent vaccines with COVID-19, there have been complications in some instances with these medicines. Not a lot, which I'll concede, it's not a lot. But we do have to talk about it if we're going to have an honest conversation. If you want people to genuinely get vaccinated for their own health's sake, then you have to actually talk about it and not suppress these stories because it doesn't fit a narrative. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and ask this. Going back to the FDA, why do you want people to be vaccinated when it hasn't even been FDA approved? If you are that concerned, Uncle Sam, why don't you focus on the FDA getting their official stamp on it? Make people feel more at ease if that's a genuine concern, if you're really looking out for the people. You can't blame people for not wanting to get the vaccine. Imagine this. It's like a car salesman. Someone's trying to sell you a car at a dealership. And after the customer states clearly he's not interested, he or she's not interested, the salesman pushes harder to make the customer buy the car. What do you think will happen? I will answer that for you. I would say 90% of the time, they will probably be less likely to buy the car and listen to what you have to say, and increase the chances by 90% to just walk out of the dealership altogether. You just lost yourself a customer. Congratulations. The fact that people aren't not getting the vaccine alone is not the main reason. The fact that people aren't getting the vaccine alone is the main reason for the deaths is ignorant. Listen. Listen up closely. Ready? America is not healthy. It is distracting us from the real problem of how unhealthy we are. 80%, that 80% isn't going anywhere unless we start having that conversation. Getting the vaccine does give you immunity, as the Texas Democrats and the athletes are showing right now. I understand it lowers your risk, but if you're vaccinated, then you don't have to worry about the unvaccinated unless you genuinely have a concern for that loved one. Otherwise, you're going off media panic porn. Let me tell you this. They're interested in power. They don't care about the unvaccinated. They don't care about you even, the vaccinated. They like having that power over people. It boosts their ego, self-esteem. The power hunger is real, with the White House press secretary removing all doubt whether or not the government has been using big tech to funnel policies that couldn't outright say or pass into legislation to censor people. At least, you would think it removed all doubt. I know we live in different realities in this country, all right? And I know the more progressive base, liberal base, probably is not going to see it that way. All right, and I'm not trying to generalize that side. I know there's anecdotes out there that probably would agree with what I'm saying. But regardless, if you actually see it, and you had any doubts and you're already questioning, this should have removed all doubt, giving Trump more legal grounds to work with. What the government is doing is the equivalent of Adam and Eve. I know, another Bible reference, but hear me out. When God created the earth, he created Adam and Eve, right? What did God tell Adam and Eve? Don't eat the apple, the tree of knowledge. Now, when the snake, which is the devil, talked to Eve, did he outright tell her to sin against God? Or did he use euphemism to lead her to eat the apple? In case you didn't know or you're not catching my drift, the American legal system is Eve, and the government is the snake, using big tech as euphemism to violate the First Amendment, which, for this analogy, that's God's equivalent of telling Adam and Eve not to eat the apple. I hope Trump wins this case, because this is a clear war. Are we going to be a country whose speech will be at the mercy of the government? Or are we a free people? Which, a country that's at the mercy of the government when it comes to speech, that's Marxism. And I went over the last episode that Marxism, part of Karl Marx's philosophy, is controlling speech. Centralized, controlled speech. So are we going to reject this as well? Are we going to reject Marxism? Or are we going to embrace it? Be at the mercy. The government becomes our God now. They become our thinkers. Unvaccinated people are not killing others, contrary to the White House and the media's propaganda. And contrary to what's being said about needing more restrictions and lockdowns again, we don't need one, nor is it constitutional, may I add. Last year, for maybe like the first month, I was probably for it. But that was when I didn't really understand what was going on. And because we'd never seen a situation like this before, I wasn't sure. I didn't really think about the constitutional aspects of it. And looking back on it now, I was wrong to ever give that step to the government, which if you give the government one step, they'll go a mile with that power. California just struggled, especially in LA. They just struggled to get out of a lockdown, and now they're talking about restarting the lockdowns, and people are pissed off for protesting. We don't need another situation like that. We don't need that because of incompetent bureaucrats, which will lead me to the next conversation with a showdown between Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci after this break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic Week in Review Edition. I'm Ken Drew, your host. And before we go any further and finish the episode off, I want to ask everyone to please leave a review on no matter what platform you're listening to this podcast from. Leave a review of some sort. Hopefully it's a 5-star, but if you got some comments as far as how the show could be improved upon, please, by all means, let me know. Let me know through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. It's available on all these platforms. You don't necessarily have to pick one, but just please leave a review. It helps me know like how I can improve the show and better serve you. With that said, speaking of servitude, we got two bureaucrats here who are, you know, at least on paper, they're supposed to serve us. But you could debate as far as whether or not one of them is being genuine. And Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci in particular, they've become best friends this year, especially after last week's debacle, which I'm going to play you the soundbite. It's about a 4-minute long exchange, roughly. So we'll go ahead and actually listen to it. But more or less, this was a hearing concerning whether or not Dr. Fauci was involved in the funding of gain and functions research, which we'll get into the details of that in just a moment. But first, let's go ahead and play this soundbite for your entertainment purposes.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain of function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was? Let me finish.
Take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
It did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself. I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses
that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain of function research was going on in that lab and NIH funded it.
That is
not. Get away from it. It meets your definition and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You're the one.
Time has expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible
no one's
to
saying
result
they are. No
in
one's
SARS-CoV-2.
Saying those viruses caused the pandemic. We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying.
Dr. Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individuals. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Best friends. Am I right? No, just me who found that funny. I guess that's why I never did stand up. Anyhoot, that was a hearing this week into the investigation of the origins of COVID-19. Last year, I say we in air quotes because I never bought into it. But anyways, last year we were led to believe the virus originated from a wet market in Wuhan. From the bat, and then it was a pangolin. You're familiar with this whole story, the original origin story. The idea that it came from a lab was a conspiracy theory. Misinformation. The health experts already said there's no way the virus could have been leaked out of a lab or come from a lab. That stayed true until Trump left office. So, I'm going to give you a rundown of what's been, air quote, discovered. Again, I and at least 40% of Americans already knew this, but I digress. Where have you been? Anywho. So I guess for us, it just validates, right? So for half the country, 60%, 50% of the country, they discovered. The other 50 to 40% were like, ah, we already knew this. It validates. Now, it did indeed originate from a lab whose primary focus is to take an animal virus, manipulate it to make it as lethal as possible against humans. The idea is to give an understanding how to combat these viruses at its deadliest when it transfers into the human immune system naturally. Keep that in mind. But just hearing that by itself, it sounds sketchy, doesn't it? I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. And to Obama's credit, he thought so too. So in 2014, he shut that program down. That was taking place in Wuhan. This company, this research, is known as Gain of Functions. That's their purpose for their entire existence. And the lab is run by a scientist named Dr. Shi. Keep this in mind as we go along in this rundown. Now, when Trump took office in 2017, with the air quote chaos of Trump's administration behind closed doors, Fauci restarted the program research. He used a middle name named Dr. Jacek to pave to the Wuhan lab, being run by Dr. Shi. Let me emphasize this point. Taxpayer dollars that were never officially approved to restart were being used to fund this research. Taxpayer dollars for a program that was never officially approved were being used to fund this gain of functions research. Now, the question is whether or not Dr. Fauci was aware of what was transpiring as he basically had his hands off. He had a hands-off approach. And if there was ever a checkup or an investigation that took place, he denied any activity of such experiments. And at times, he just took the word of the people running over there, despite people in his circle stating the virus most likely came from a lab, and that China was lying when they said there wasn't any such event going on last year. And this was revealed or validated in some, for my case, through emails that were being sent back and forth as of the late 2019 and 2020. He denied any involvement. This is why he's gotten a lot of heat, and why Rand Paul is grilling him, as to say he's responsible for the deaths of 4 million people worldwide, globally. Right now, I think, currently, I don't have COVID, promise. Anyways, I think roughly we have the world population, I want to say it's 7 billion people. 7 billion people. 4 million died as a result of this leak. Now, whether or not it was intentional, I'll give you my perspective on that. But here's my take overall. I'm not entirely sure Dr. Fauci knew what was going on or not. It is possible, all right? It is possible that he was naive, just as Trump was with the restart of the program. But if it were simple as that, why didn't Fauci inform the president of restarting such research? Dr. Fauci, what are you hiding? That was my Dr. Fauci impression. Do you like it? Again, not stand-up. Anyways, you showed us last year you're willing to lie. You go back and forth with recommendations such as no mask. Wearing a mask is useless. Double masking makes no sense. Double masking makes the most absolute sense in the world. You've made yourself a god when you said anybody questioning you is an attack on science. Whether Fauci was that naive or he was covering for himself in China, he, Dr. Fauci alone, is responsible for starting the program back up. A program, gain-of-function research, that has conversations of being given more funding, as much as $200 million. It was his responsibility to ensure no funny business was taking place there. Instead, the scientists in that lab manipulated the virus that went beyond the necessary manipulation needed to meet its natural evolution to infect humans. This is why I say China were creating a biological weapon. It makes sense to me because China idolizes Karl Marx, and Marxism regimes call for genocide for the quote-unquote weaker classes and races. I mean, they're already doing that. They're already running concentration camps for the Muslim community. It's already happening. They're not really fond of black people. Just ask any movie star that's black when you have a movie that has a cover of the black man or black woman on there. When it gets released in theaters of China, they remove. They're not even in existence on the cover of the movie front anymore. I mean, it just makes sense that this was a biological weapon. Like, China wants to be like the ruling class. They want to be the absolute authority to take over the world. Now, part of this, what I'm saying, is hyperbolic, and it's not really confirmed. So don't take it too hard. Take it with a grain of salt. This is speculative on my part. It's not been proven that China's intent was to create a biological weapon. Again, keep that in mind. That hasn't been proven yet. I'm just letting you know my thinking, my dots that I'm connecting. I am smelling, regardless of the intent of making such lethal viruses, manipulating a virus to make it lethal, the intent, I smell BS from Dr. Fauci. And you can tell the chickens are coming home to roost. Fire Dr. Fauci? Yeah. Deservedly so. Rand Paul won that round. The truth always comes out, Dr. Fauci. And you, sir, are getting defensive for someone who is innocent and telling the truth. Gaslighting won't get you out of this situation. Calling everyone else a liar doesn't change the fact that you restarted the program, okay? Come on. You gotta be kidding me. And using a middleman to cover your tracks still makes you guilty for research that has costed 4 million lives, eh? 4 million lives. It's time for you to go. Get out of here. Get out of here. With that said, we're going to go for a short break and close this episode out. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew, and I just want to thank everyone for tuning into this week's episode. And I want to ask, and you can reach out to me through the social media platforms I mentioned earlier, which story stuck out with you the most? Which points did you like or didn't like? What perspectives do you want to share with me? I will definitely read into your comments, just in the same manner I will read into your messages and DMs if you decided to let me know how your week was. With that said, again, thank you for tuning in. Please, by all means, leave a review, no matter what platform you're listening to this podcast from. I want to read your reviews and see how it can better serve you. Hopefully, I know I'm doing a great job. Hopefully, it's a 5-star. But if it could be improved upon, by all means, leave a review. And I hope you have a good rest of the Friday and Saturday. And until Sunday, have a rest of a blessed Friday. Thank God it's Friday.